I am thoroughly convinced more than ever before that if we will give him place, he will make a way. Now, here's how most people define space. At my convenience. Or they say space is when I have time. And we would all probably admit in some capacity that a lot of times God gets what's left over. It's probably pretty, I think that's the way our society has sort of driven us to that place where we have allowed ourselves to give God what we have left over. And a lot of times what ends up happening is what's left over is just broken pieces. And God will take that. In fact, God will let you get there. He'll let you go there. He'll let your life just be broken into pieces. And then when you're finally, you know, done all that you can do and you're just scattered all over the place, then the Lord comes in and tries to put the pieces back together. And he does a pretty good job of that. But what I'm encouraging you today is don't wait until your life is in pieces to follow his instruction. Because he has a great, great plan for us all. Today I'm going to share a familiar story. It's probably, I don't know that I've preached on it in 9 years that I've been here. Specifically, I've made reference to it, but I've never truly just preached, I don't think. Now, some of y'all say, well, I've got notes, Pastor. I can prove you wrong. Well, your mind's better than mine because I'm just sort of trying to be obedient to the Lord. But when the walls come down, and most of you know what message I'm going to share today. But I think there's some relevant truths still today. In that old Bible story I heard, I think it's probably in my recollection, it's one of those Bible stories that was truly, I can remember as a kid being taught. How many were taught this story about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho in either vacation Bible school or Sunday school or somewhere you learned about it? In fact, in my home church, we used to sing a little song, and I can't recall the melody or the tune of it, but it was basically about marching around the walls of Jericho and how the walls fell down. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But sometimes we get to thinking that when we're up in a battle or we're facing a challenge in life that, you know, there's something that we have to do or we have to make things happen. Typically, we in the world, we sort of take it upon ourselves. Even as Christians, we come in, we confess our sins, and we say, okay, Lord, I'm inviting you to sort of have, you know, control of my life. And then we walk right out the door and we keep doing what we've always done. Keep trying to figure it out. Keep trying to work it out. Keep trying to do the battle. And then we get frustrated and we say, well, the Lord deserted me. He told me he was going to help me. And the thing is, the Lord didn't say he was going to help you. The Lord said he would reshape you, reinvent you. For all those, which is our theme scripture, he is in Christ. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So it's about becoming a different person that meets the challenges of your day. And I feel like it's a relevant message for us today, for you here, to maybe figure out what can I do to unleash. How many want to see the power of the Lord unleashed in your life? See, when you do battle on your own, you typically fail and fail miserably. But when you begin to release your authority and your will to the power of God's presence in your life, you unleash something supernatural. It's amazing to me that the American church, or like some of the many churches in that day, where they declare God and all of his authority, but deny the power thereof. As if somehow through our reasoning and an intellect, we can cause people to turn to the Lord. I can't convince anybody in this room, if you're not serving the Lord, to serve him. It is only the Spirit of God that brings about that reconciliation. So today we're going to talk about when the walls come down. There were two hunters that were down on their luck. They were just guys. They were really farmers that sort of dabbled in hunting. But it was in Montana several years ago that they had such a wolf problem that the wolves were basically ravaging the herds, that were of the farmers and those that were raising livestock in Montana. Till finally, the government, the state government, decided to put bounties on wolves, and they said for anyone that can capture a wolf or remove a wolf from the wild and bring them, and so we can relocate them or whatever, we will give you $5,000 a wolf. $5,000 a wolf. Well, there was these two guys. One was named Jed, appropriately. Jed sounds like a backwoodsman. And then the other one was named Sam. And so Sam and Jed, who were down on their luck, decide, we're going to go hunt wolves. And so they set out into the wilderness, and they begin to hunt wolves. And they hunt for several days, and they can't find one wolf, not one wolf alone. Till finally, out of exhaustion, they fall asleep in the wilderness. And in the middle of the night, Sam wakes up. Sam wakes up, and to his surprise, he is surrounded by a group of ravenous wolves, looking like they're very hungry and ready to attack them. Sam is fearful. He doesn't know what to do. He feels like his life is about to end. And so he goes over to Jed, and he stirs Jed out of sleep and says, Jed, wake up. We're about to die. And Jed wipes the sleep out of his eyes, and he looks around him, and he sees these ravenous wolves that are about to just jump on them and take their lives. But instead of being like Sam, he gets up, and he's got a smile on his face, and he's looking at these wolves. And Sam looks at him and says, what are you smiling about? He said, man, I don't know about you, but I'm about to be a rich man. Two men facing the same enemy, but one has a different perspective. You and I, we face the same enemy, but so many of us are detoured, frightened, fearful of the enemy that is before us. Well, in this story, we see Joshua has an enemy before him that is, in his own eyes and his own best estimations, more than he can conquer. In fact, the night before he embarks upon this battle, he goes out away from the camp, and he begins to seek the Lord. And he comes upon a man he sees, and he knows that he is a man of armor. He is a big man. He is a strong man. And he asks and he petitions him. He says, are you with us or are you against us? And the man declares, I am from the army of the Lord. And immediately he takes his shoes off and he kneels before this great person in front of him. And what he's doing there in that moment, he is identifying that this is one that can do great battle for him. And he yields himself to the army and to the armor of the Lord that moment. And so he agrees that he is going to yield himself to the Lord. And so he leaves that place. And then we pick up the story in Joshua 6, 1 and 2. And here we see what they come upon. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua. Now, I want you to get the picture here. Joshua comes up. This city is fortified. The walls, if you go and read, are so high they cannot be penetrated. They can't climb these walls. And what sits upon these walls, over top of these walls, are men that are there to attack them and to destroy them if they try to attack. And they come upon this wall, and it's completely shut up. Nobody's coming. Nobody's going. It's secure. Nothing can go in. Nothing can come out. It's not something they're going to be able to overcome in themselves. And they look upon it. And then the Lord said to Joshua, and I don't know if anybody else heard, but Joshua heard. Now remember, the army of the Lord, he knew that was for him. And then the Lord gets him to take a step of faith. He says, see how it's shut up? See how everything seems to be not possible? He says, I have given you Jericho into your hand. God had given him a promise that it was already his. He said, and I've not only given you the city, I've given you the king, and I've given you the mighty men of valor, meaning the men of war that is within this city. Now, I don't know about you. That tells me sometimes God, anybody ever God sort of just instilled in your heart, he says, I've got a promise for you. I've got something good for you. I've got something I want to do in your life. And immediately after that promise comes, all hell breaks loose. And you are facing an insurmountable army. And you're facing impenetrable walls. And all of a sudden, you are up against the wall. You have found yourself facing something that you know in yourself you can't do it. But guess what we do? We go grab a sledgehammer. And we start wailing away. All right, Lord, you told me the city's mine. So I got me a hammer, and I'm going to start knocking the wall down.
And so I'm going to start grabbing the hammer, and I'm going to swing the hammer, and I'm going to knock this wall down. And after about a day or a month or a year, we're so tired, we just say, the Lord has failed me. Or maybe you're not someone that tries to knock the wall down. You know, I believe some of them said, we're going to get our picks and we're going to get our sledgehammers. And then other ones would pick up another way of trying to destroy the wall. Well, Lord, maybe if we pick off some people on the wall, we'll be able to figure out a way to conquer this wall. So we start shooting at the enemy with our imaginary guns. We try to fight a spiritual battle with carnal weapons. We try to overcome something. The Lord says, I have given you this wall. What happens when you hit a wall? It's a wall that is an obstacle before you. It's keeping you from walking into the promise of God. God had given a promise to Abraham many, many years prior to this. That promise was passed down to Moses. And then Moses led these people out of the wilderness and to the very, very edge of the promised land. And then they were stubborn people and they wouldn't go. And so they had to walk around the wilderness for another 40 years. And then Joshua brings them across. And the first thing they face is this impenetrable city, a city that seems to be no way they could conquer. It was an obstacle. But not only was it an obstacle, it was something that represents someone that was trying to keep them from going to where God wanted them to go. It was a resistance. It wasn't only in the way. It was there to keep them from going where God wanted them to go. How many of you today, God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. But there are obstacles in your way. There is resistance around you. And you look around and you don't see any way, shape, or form you're going to be able to achieve this. You don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand what I'm dealing with, what I'm facing today. I've got these needs. I've got these problems. Can I tell you, it's nothing more than an obstacle. It's nothing more than resistance that's come against you. And it's nothing you can overcome by yourself. It's not something you're going to be able to take care of. It's bigger than you, and you might as well face it. And when you get to a place where you realize you can't do battle on your own, you're at a place where God can use you. You're at a place where God can do something amazing. It's bigger than you. It's nothing you can overcome yourself. And you must understand, it's no way to go around this obstacle. There's no way to get to where you're going. You've got to go through it. It's unavoidable. What are you going to do now? Amen. You've hit a wall. They hit a wall. What's the wall in your life today? What is the issue that's keeping you from experiencing the abundance of God in your life? There's no wall that you're going to be able to take down with a gun. There's no wall that you're going to be able to take a sledgehammer to and knock it down, because it's not that kind of wall. So all of a sudden, God tells them you're going to take the city. But then he tells them how they're going to take the city. So here's the deal. You submit your will to God, and then you listen for the plan of God in your life. See, a lot of us, we spend so much time beating on a wall thinking we can make a door when we need to talk to the Lord, and he can make a door where there is no door. He can make an opening where you don't see an opening. And so God gives us a plan. Now, I want to tell you something. Go ahead and go to the next scripture, Jake. Isaiah understood the weakness of humanity. He says that we are weak, that God can give us power, that he can give us the increased strength we need. He understands that when we're young, we may faint and be weary, and we may not even be able to make it. We will utterly fall. This is God's words to Isaiah. But then God makes it very clear in this verse that he can give us the power to overcome our weakness. He can give us the strength that we need to endure. But what does that look like? Well, God has a strange sense of humor, you all. He sort of thinks that we can do battle with strange things that we never thought we could. We look at these things and we say they're useless. And God looks at these things and says, man, they are of great worth. Come on up here, Carlos. He tells them, he says, men, we are going to take the city. And they're ready. They're like, all right, here we go. God's going to give us a plan. I want you to grab your horns. You want saxophone. Leave it to the youth pastor to be telling God what to give him to play. Come up here, Nimwell. Nimwell, you get the trumpet.
Okay, I'm going to let the ladies participate. Come up here, Erica. We ain't going to leave you ladies out. He says, here's what's going to happen. I want you to drop your sledgehammers, drop your swords, drop your weapons, pick up your horns, and put on your shoes. What? And what we're going to do is, for the next 6 days, we're going to march around the city one time each day. We're not going to say a word. We're not going to make a noise. Wait a minute, Lord. What battle plan? Look, I've read the book of war. I understand how we're supposed to make war. We're supposed to surprise the enemy, Frank. We're supposed to sneak around and have reconnaissance and figure out where their weakness is and then attack their weak point. You mean you want us to come out of the bushes and expose ourselves to our enemy? Are you serious, God? Do you know what you're doing? You say, well, that was probably a strange conversation. No stranger than the conversation you have with God sometimes. When God begins to speak into your spirit and he tells you to do something you don't want to do. He says, love your enemies. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute, God. Love my enemies? Pray for those who would spitefully use and abuse me? How is a saxophone going to stop an arrow? There's nothing coming out. There's no arrows, only noise. And he says, walk around 6 times. And y'all go take your instruments and sit down. We're going to defeat this city before this sermon's over. Here's the deal. Practical ways to figure out what God wants you to do. First rule of order, don't assume anything. Once God gives you something upon your heart, don't assume you know exactly how he's going to do it. For instance, Lord, you know I love you. You know I need you. Ladies, I'm talking to you right now. And I'm believing, Lord, you have a man out there for me. And I know he's going to be a good, godly Christian man. He's going to take care of me, and I'm going to be a good wife, and we're going to raise a Christian family. And Lord, I know that's your will for my life. Oh, here comes a boy down the street. Hey, friend, do you go to church? No, but I might go to church. Well, come on and go to church with me. Maybe you find Jesus and then you find me. Too many times they ain't looking for Jesus. They're just using Jesus to get to you. Don't assume anything. You go into this with an open mind. You say, Lord, I am your willing vessel. I am here to yield myself to you. And when you begin to say those words, you say those words with conviction. You say those words believing that God is able, that God will do what he says he can do, and he will touch, and he will change the course of not only your life, but those that you are impacting and those that you're dealing with. And while you're waiting on the Lord to show himself and to reveal himself, and you're not assuming anything, you make preparation. Now, what does it mean to make preparation as a Christian and a believer? That means you talk to God in prayer. You read his word. You spend time with the Lord. You spend time with godly people that are going to increase your faith. Oh, it may not have anything to do at that moment in time with that issue that you're dealing with, but you're preparing yourself for war. You're preparing yourself for battle. And as you read his word and as you let him begin to equip you in a spiritual manner, you begin to get yourself ready, because when he reveals himself, if you've built your faith and if you've read his word and if you spend time with him, when he begins to speak, you know his voice, and when he speaks the truth, you hear him and you follow him, and you don't begin to check up, and you don't let doubt and fear and all these other emotions take you over. You don't assume anything. You're trusting in the hand of the Lord, and you're preparing yourself for what he wants to do. And as you're doing this, you're seeking him with sincerity. You don't make statements just out of the cuff, but what you say you mean, and what you mean you say. And you let God do that work in you. And when you say, here am I, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you've called me to do, you yield yourself to the hand of the Lord and you let him work. And when you let him work, you just watch and see what he will do. Amen. Expect the unexpected. Don't walk in thinking you know everything. God has a way of flipping a script on everybody. In the Old Testament, one time he told him, says, make a brazen snake and raise it. And when the serpents come to bite you, if you'll look upon that snake, when you see that, it'll cause the poison not to harm you.
God never used it ever again anywhere in the New or Old Testament. But too many times we take the brazen snake and we raise it up and we say, oh, here it worked once, it'll work again. Can I tell you, this is a new day. God's calling us to a new anointing. God's calling us to a fresh anointing, a fresh experience. Not something from yesterday, something for today that'll take us into tomorrow and make the difference in those that we love and care for. The power of His presence. God's plan for your life. This is Lou Giglio that stated this. Go back there, Jake. God's plan for your life far exceeds the circumstances of your present day. So many of us, all we can see is right now. Lord, I just want it fixed right now. Well, I got a couple little things to share with you. Bear, this is a little priestly conviction. Some of you, you didn't get where you are right now in a day, and you're not going to get out of where you're at in a day. Sometimes when you dig a hole, it takes a while for the Lord to fill it back up. What you got to do is you got to follow and let Him speak to you His plan. The scripture says in Proverbs 2:2-5, turn your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. How many of us are seeking Him like silver, cherishing Him like gold? If I were to tell you this morning, somewhere in this building, there was a $100 bill taped to the bottom of a chair. Some of you wouldn't wait till I finished speaking till you started seeking. That's the truth. But yet God's worth so much more. The longer I live, the more I am assured. And I can just tell you many, many, many things. It's been some tough times, but it's been some glorious times. Because God is faithful. Now when He gives you the plan, you got to stick to the plan. Now we like getting plans from God. And we'll even... You know, when I was a kid, we used to... Anybody remember them old Jericho marches? Yeah, I see some of them. Some of you don't want to admit it. Well, let me tell you what a Jericho march is. You know what a Jericho march is? It's a Jericho march. We'd get into sanctuary and some old saint would get fired up and you know, just feeling the power of the presence of the Lord. Next thing you know, they'd be walking around the sanctuary. And they'd be claiming every promise of God. And they'd be binding every devil. And everybody in the sanctuary would be just marching around the church. And if somebody walked in there and saw that, they thought we was the foolish bunch of people you ever laid eyes on. But can I tell you, the Word tells me that God will take the foolish things of men to confound the wise. The Lord is much deeper, much broader, much wider than we are. And sometimes He may cause you to step out and you may feel like this ain't happening, this isn't working, but can I tell you, when you step out in faith into something, everybody might think you're wrong. Everybody might think you're crazy. But if you'll put your trust in the Lord, I can promise you this. He's going to show up and He's going to show up on time. What does it mean to stick to the plan? It means show up every day. Can you imagine? All right, come on. I need my army back here marching. Don't you relax. If you don't know what this is an illustrative message. I'm told that you'll get this really good if I illustrate it for you. Okay, he tells them, says, once a day. Now, don't blow your horn yet, but I want you to start marching. March, he says, show up every day. You show up the first day. You show up the second day. You show up the third day. You show up the fourth day. You show up the fifth day. You show up the sixth day. You just keep showing up. Now, it may be you show up today. You show up next week. You show up next year. You show up 5 years from now. You keep marching until God gives you other instructions. Show up every day. Don't forget the little things. He told them, don't make no noise. He said, don't make a sound. Well, Lord, we want to shout right now. We want them to get scared. Don't you make a sound. Now, here's a little something. Sometimes some of you try to fix with words, and the best thing you need to do is be quiet. Be slow to speak. Quick to listen. You do more damage with this thing sticking between your lips right here than anything else in your body. The Bible says a small, small thing starts a great fire.
So he tells them to be quiet. Y'all can stop for a second. Be patient, even when you're tired. You're going to get tired, I'm sure. About the third or fourth day, there was a couple of them thinking, this is ridiculous. Are you serious? I've got holes in my shoes. Come on. There's going to be those feelings that it's not working. There are going to be feelings that it's not worth it. Look, I want to go back to my tent. I want to have a bologna sandwich. I want to watch ESPN right now. Come on. Keep doing it. Be patient, even when you're tired. Even when it doesn't seem like it's working. Keep doing the right thing. Don't be distracted. Don't let people detour you. Don't let people pull you away. The devil will send people in. The devil will send people against you. When he starts seeing Frank start doing and obeying the will of the Lord, he's going to send somebody and say, Frank, buddy of mine, won't you come on out with me? No, I've got to go to church. Man, it ain't going to hurt you to miss one Sunday. It ain't no big deal. Ain't no problem. One Sunday won't hurt nobody. Frank starts to listen. Next thing you know, Frank's going places. Frank ain't got no business going. I had a boy, good Christian boy, raised in Assemblies of God. Marriage was a little bit on the rocks. Instead of going to church, he started hanging out with the wrong crowd. He wanted to save his marriage. This is a true story. I dealt with it. And he started hanging around the wrong people, listening to the wrong crowd. They said, man, come on, smoke some weed, smoke some marijuana. I don't know what they call it. I've never dealt it and been with it, so I don't know what it is. A J, whatever you want to call it. I got no clue. But they kept talking to him. Come on, no, man, I can't do that. No, you don't want to hurt you. Make you feel better. And he was feeling a lot of pain, a lot of struggling going on inside. So he took a couple smokes off the joint. Feeling good. Hey, man, we're going to go down here to Food Line. We're going to get us some money. No, man, I can't do that. Man, you ain't even got to get out of the car. You stay and wait on us. And when we get back, you just drive away. Did it to four Food Lines down in the Chesapeake and Virginia Beach area. They got caught. He got caught. Spent 7 years in prison. Lost the wife that he longed to be with. Lost the children that he wanted to be with. Because he listened to somebody that was telling him the wrong thing. Because he didn't do the little things right. Because he didn't stay the course. The devil will take everything away from you. And it may look good for the moment, but can I tell you, it's a trap of the enemy. Listen to the Lord. All right, y'all start marching. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable, always working enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever unseen or useless. You've marched for Him. Stick to the plan. Then finally complete the plan. Final part of the plan, the Lord told them on the seventh day, you march around six times. And they're going to be getting comfortable. They're like, they're doing the same thing. Them people, I bet you from the wall, they were shouting insults. You bunch of idiots. You think you're going to conquer us. There's nothing you can do. I hear shouts now coming from all parts of our land telling us, stop believing the truth. That God you're serving is dead. There's no way He's going to deliver you. We're going to take away all your rights. We're going to throw you in prison if you try to live according to the Word. You stop doing those things. Stop going to church. It's not doing you any good. You just keep walking. You keep coming. You keep going. Finish strong. Don't grow weak. Don't grow weary. Keep doing the right thing all the time. Keep trusting in the unseen hand of a living God. Keep believing that He's going to deliver you out of the hand of the enemy. Keep trusting that the Lord will never forsake you nor never leave you. Keep holding on to that hand that will always be there for you. Finish strong. And in that moment when you thought it couldn't happen, all of a sudden the trumpet's going to sound. Sound that trumpet. And all of a sudden with a shout, God's going to bring deliverance. God's going to bring help. God's going to deliver you from all that the enemy would have against you. With a shout. Y'all sit down now. Y'all done made me tired. Have confidence in the power of God. He said it. I believe it. And it will happen. It's on Him, not on you. He said it. It was done. I'm going to give you a little secret here. This is what I believe. I can't prove it, but I've read quite a bit about the story.
You see, if the walls would have just tumbled down, there would have been debris that would have hindered their attack on the city. See, I don't believe the walls just came down. I believe the walls disappeared. Because it said in the scripture that they ran straightway in. Go to the scripture, Jake. Said, for the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. I'm waiting. And the people shouted with a great shout that the walls fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. That thing you see as your obstacle will be a platform for God to get his glory. The thing that you thought made you look foolish is the very thing that will bring deliverance into your life. That's why Jesus said, pray for those who despitefully abuse you. That's why he said, love thine enemy. See, that confuses the enemy. He doesn't know what to do with that. I can imagine they went into their room where they were planning about this attack coming on Jericho. And they were probably thinking, what are we supposed to do? We know how to do something with arrows coming against us. We know how to deal with these ramparts being built to scale these walls. But what do you do with an army that all they do is march around and say nothing? It strikes fear in the heart of the enemy. He doesn't know what to do. It's not a type of attack that he's used to dealing with. This morning, I'm asking each one of you, what's your wall? What's the struggle? What's the thing that is most hindering what God wants to do in your life? If you would yield to him and trust in him, stand with me this morning.